Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you could be with me on this 30th day of April 2022. We're going to be looking at self-examination. This is one of the most essential aspects of working upon ourselves, and I have the opportunity and the privilege to speak to many different kinds of people in my career, from, you know, the teenager, believe it or not. I have that opportunity, and it kind of grows up and up in the early 20s and 30s, as well as 40s and on down the line with old people like us. But the thing that is most interesting to me about all of these people is how they live with themselves. And when I am confronted with the idea of someone coming to me and saying, I'd like to try out your spiritual practice thing, and that's the way they kind of look at it. They don't have any deep devotion or sincerity towards personal transformation. They have none. They think in terms of philosophy. What is your philosophy? What is it that you emphasize? Can I accept your philosophy? And as if, you know, it's something that they have a choice in the matter of, but they really don't, but they like to think they do. Anyway, we make no choices. Our choices are all made by our genetics and DNA, and we have literally very little. I mean, we can say, oh yeah, I can choose the toothpaste I use, but I can't really choose whether or not I'm going to awaken, because that may not be something that my genetic nature and my DNA would support and would not be able to live by. There's a great deal of ethnic background, psychological background, genetic background, DNA, of course, background. All of that plays into whether or not you're going to be able to do any kind of true inner work, any kind of real awakening. The dictionary defines self-examination as the study of one's behavior and motives, a period of considerable self-doubt and self-examination. Examining one's own body and the signs of illness, yada da yada da, and all of that illness is mental. Now, I am not going to tell you I'm a mental health expert, but I think we can all see in this world that we are mentally ill and that we live in a world of great mental illness. So with that being said, and you can see it deployed in our driving, our behaviors with each other, how rude we are, how angry we can be, how we entertain ourselves with anger and such. All of this goes on affecting us and developing the self that we have. So when someone comes to me and says, could I come to a workshop or could I come to a retreat? I hesitantly say, I need to talk to you and need to see what kind of person you are. I vet them. There is no doubt about it. And the vetting is about seeing how they would deal with self-examination and how open they are. And that's what our little small podcast here is about today. I spend a great deal of time helping people with self-examination. First question comes from Rick in Colorado. He does not tell me any other things. He tells me he's been listening to me for a long time. And Rick, I'm very grateful that you do. He said, how do I self-examine without really hating myself? I don't think I can do it. And Rick does not tell me how old he is, so I don't know. You know, a lot of it has to do with age. You you come to a certain point in your life where the hormones and the chemistry of your body, the brain chemistry and all of that plays a role in your life, the testosterone, the serotonins, the whole thing. So when you start looking at, I don't know if I can take it, you're probably right. You probably can't. And it would require of you a great deal of tolerance, forgiveness, and the lack of pride, which is a great, great pain in the you-know-what when it comes to spiritual work or any kind of psychological work. Pride is a the other side of the coin of low self-esteem. And when I am working with people, if they have deep low self-esteem, which most people do, and they base their life and their opinions of themselves based on what their parents had or did or what their acuity was all about, then you're in trouble, and you know that you're going to have to give up your parents inside yourself and whatever they have told you that you were or are. Their word is not something that you could live with. Their word, you have to learn how to let that go, what their opinions were of you. But this is very hard to do, and that's another long, long story I can't get into here on this podcast. But the thing that is most important to understand is that it has to do with low self-esteem. And when the person such as yourself, Rick, hears what's going on inside your head, and you have covered it up or rationalized it with behaviors and thoughts and beliefs and other people's behaviors and thoughts and beliefs about you, then it becomes very, very difficult to have any clear examination, to have any way of understanding our motivations. Self-examination stems from, what is my motivation? That is really all it's about in the beginning, just in the beginning. It changes into other things as we go along, but in the beginning, that's what it is. What is my motivation for living? Well, people would say just to stay alive, to get all I can, to have fun, da-da-da-da-da-da, all that stuff. But what happens is we bury what is truly important about our behavior, about ourselves, about what motivates us into behaviors that may not be very healthy or may not be kind or may not have anything to do with the state of love inside of us. And when we do this, we find that we can become very cruel, obstinate, stubborn, all sorts of different motivations. Self-observation, how do you do it without hating yourself? You've got to have tremendous willingness on your part to seek what is beyond the self. You have to understand your body is a vessel, and you live in this body as a vessel. You don't live in it as yourself. You get in a car, you are not the car. Although a lot of people think that their car is so important, it gives them identity. But, you know, that's another story altogether. And what that's about is that you have no identity other than what you want other people to think of you. One of the first things that you have to come to inside yourself is you have to not be concerned about what other people think of you. You have to also not be concerned about what you think of you. And you also have to look at things from another point of view. And here it is. Your motivation has to change from that of being socially acceptable to that of being, shall we say, how do I want to put this? A person who is on a journey, let's put it that way. A journey to something that he or she has never experienced before and is willing to examine every aspect of themselves as to their fitness to take that journey into love, which is what it's really all about. It's all about love. But we miss that because we're so busy trying to be perfect and gain the adoration of other people, which is our motivation in general and why we have difficulty. So how are you going to do this? It's called self-observation. It's non-judgmental, non-critical. It is the willingness to see everything, though it may break your human heart. It may break your image of yourself. It may break your ideals of yourself. It may make you realize you never knew yourself, yada-da-yada-da, all that kind of stuff. You have to be willing to see everything without criticism, without judgment. And you can't rationalize your evil. And that's a big part of it. And if you're going to go into the depths of yourself, you will realize that there is only great love in you. And that great love and that great beauty sustains more than just a lifetime. It is what connects you to everything in the universe, everything. I got to go to the next question. Rick, thank you for your question. And thank you for your kind comments, too. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question. This comes from Robert. He does not tell me where he lives. What should I be looking for in self-examination? And then he goes into his faults. And I'm not going to get into those because that's not the point of it all. Robert, what you need to be looking at is your sincerity. Where are you most sincere? What are you motivated by that allows you to live in this world? What is it that is deeply important to you? What is it that you want to die with, to move into the next life with? What are you bringing with you into the next life? That, to me, those are the elements that are most important. And people simply don't think of those elements. They want to have the ensconcement, if that's a word, of being in the throes of an exciting life here on earth where you get all the adoration and all the pleasures that constitute being successful or acceptable in society. And that's as far as it goes. That's what people think of as the meaning of their life, what other people think of them. And if they have people that think highly of them and think well of them, well, they think, well, that's what it's really all about. But that's not true. That's not true at all. What should you be looking for? Your sincerity level, your motivation to take a deep look into what you have done, and what you work from and what you think. And this is going to be difficult, and I'm going to tell you why right now. Because your chemicals in your body and my body are going to be sustaining all sorts of attributes from what we inherited through our parents. So we look at our body as a product of our parents, our ancestry. And if that's the way it is, then you can know you probably won't go any further than that. But if you can look at your body and see it for what it is, it's a vessel for you to live in this world with, and you don't look at it from the point of view as the final verdict of yourself, and if you are willing to maybe see a little further than your body, see yourself beyond the dramatics of your human body and its confrontation with hate and fear. If you're willing to move beyond the idea of a finished product and start maturing beyond your emotionality, and that's the key, to mature beyond emotion, then you will know what to look for. You will be looking for a deep and profound change from living out of fear to that of living in love. And if you understand your fears and you understand how you are connected to them and where they come from, the human body and all of the chemicals and the inheritances that you have had and how we gather strength from the collective unconscious and all of that, then you can do something absolutely magnificent with your life. And very few people, Robert, do this. Very, very few. I'm out of here. Thank you for your question, Robert, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I got more for you tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening. Hope this helped. Again, as always, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.